بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. Last week we had discussed certain verses regarding Sayyidina Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام خليل الله and his son Sayyidina Ismail عليه الصلاة والسلام. We discussed how they submitted to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sacrifices that they made for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the level of the iman, the submission, the love they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the trials, the tests they had to go through for the sake of Allah, and how Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Allah praised him, and Allah mentioned that Allah had tested him, and he had passed successfully in those tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spoke about the fire that became cool for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. The knife did not cut the neck of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu salam. And the lessons we drew from the stories of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu salam. But prior to that, we were discussing some of the Islahi questions that were posed to Hazrat Maktar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. And I had mentioned that many of these questions also pertain to us. Many times we have these weaknesses, these bad habits. Or sometimes we get caught up in similar type of evil and sins. And these were discussed by our mashayikh of the past. They gave excellent solutions to these problems. Person has pride. In fact, so many times a person is unaware that he has the weakness or the sickness of pride, or jealousy, or enmity, or anger. And then his guide or the mentor or the alim or the sheikh guides him and gives him the remedy to these spiritual sicknesses. And through that he is able to polish his heart, he is able to cleanse his heart, purify his heart, and refrain from those sicknesses and spiritual maladies which ruin the iman of the person. It ruins the amal of the person. It takes the person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love and mercy. So many people even wrote this week that they had found those questions that we had discussed very beneficial, even for people from overseas. So I have decided inshallah we'll continue some of those questions. Some we may have heard before. But the idea is for us to take heed of these advices. These are guidelines. These are nasihat for us. Not to condemn any person, criticize any person. In fact, some of the answers you see, Hazrat Ali Billah Rahmatullah Ali gave so much of hope and strength to these people who at many times they lost hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody is caught in an illicit relationship with a woman or a man. Sometimes it is sodomy, homosexuality. Sometimes it is casting lustful glances. Sometimes it is missing fajr salat. Sometimes it is smoking. Sometimes taking drugs. Sometimes it is anger. So all these things people have written. And they were honest about the weaknesses, and therefore they were given a remedy which many of them implemented and brought into their lives, and they found the change. And immediately after that they would write to Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, as that we found this very beneficial. Alhamdulillah, we are now refraining from these sins. And now we are feeling the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can feel the love and ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many began to change their zahir and batin. They made an effort on the spiritual self, even on the external self. Many did not have beards. Then with hikmat, with love and advice, Hazrat directed them towards growing a beard, etc. So many people began to recite more Quran. They began to read the 5 times salat. They began to enjoy the roza. When they went to Hajj and they stood before Baytullah or before Roza Mubarak, they found this enjoyment, the ecstasy. Then they found the enjoyment from refraining from sins. So these are the things that we require to remind ourselves again and again. young and old. Whether the person is learned or is not learned, whether he's a doctor, teacher, lawyer, whatever profession, everybody goes through tests, trials, tribulations. Everybody has nafs and shaitan that work against him, that work against her. So many of these questions were written by females. So everybody goes through different types of weaknesses. Sometimes a person is feeling afraid or is feeling shy or embarrassed to mention these things. So what happens then? You are not going to get any guidance. So a sick person will remain sick until he goes to the doctor for some remedy. But by doing these type of questions, alhamdulillah, many of these things are answered. So sometimes it was embarrassing for us to have got to some person to ask some question. And the same thing is discussed. Alhamdulillah, the solution is given. So we are able to then bring it into our lives or make a change in our lives. No person is intended, because this is written many years ago. It was in Karachi, and people from all over the Philippines, I saw Hong Kong, America, South Africa, so many people, different types of people, males, females, young, old, ulama, non-ulama, all had written to Hazrat Ari Billah, and he gave them very brief answers, which suffice them. He didn't give them a long bayan on anything. He gave simple answers. Sometimes you find a person is suffering from waswasa, and his evil thoughts that come to a person while he's performing salat, filthy thoughts, and it's not something that he's bringing voluntarily. All these things have been discussed in the past. Inshallah, today we continue with a few more questions, inshallah. A person writes, my family and I do not have any confidence in the Sufis of today, because there are many fake Sufis. A person keeps a beard, holds a tasbih in his hand, sits like a Sufi, and makes his appearance of his a means for his livelihood. So this is what the person has written. Others replied, you are right, that many people have donned the garb of a Sufi, a pious person, held a tasbih, grew a beard, maybe a turban, and he's pretending to be a big sheikh, a Sufi, and so people may come, and somebody might malish his head and press his feet, and then people will start giving him gifts, and so many people were fake. That is true. But Hazrat says, however, true people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true friends of Allah ta'ala, will also be found today till the day of Qiyamah. It is your duty and my duty to search for such people. So because of a few people who pretend as though they are very pious, and they are fakes, and the only maqsad is to empty the pockets of the murids and to gain monetarily, it doesn't mean that every person now who is trying to make some effort on the islah of people, we say, no, these people are like that. I mentioned previously, we have a tendency of branding people. We say, these are Jamaat people, these are Tablighis, these are Khanka people, or these are all the Maulvis. So that's our whole life will go, and we will discriminate, and we will find fault in everybody else besides ourselves. What happens? The ship is sailing, people have boarded the ship, and they have reached the destination. We're still standing on the shore. We're still waiting to catch the boat. So that's not our duty in this dunya, in our life that we have. Our maqsad is now to gain and search for the true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can claim that he is a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all are weak. But Allah ta'ala puts certain signs. So we have to search for those people. May Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq of connecting ourselves to such friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we may remedy ourselves from all these illnesses, and we may also become the true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is simple. As I didn't say, no, what you're saying is wrong. You are right. But still, it doesn't mean you can't find the right person. Somebody might say, hey, the doctors are all useless to the ma'adana. People say that. But when he's an operation, where does he go to? Then he ends up with the doctor. So it's easy to brand. We see the teachers are useless now. So everybody is useless. But that's what we are seeing through our eyes. And many times we have barriers in our heart that blocks us from seeing the truth. And because of sometimes we have certain experiences with certain people, so we feel everybody is like that. That is not the case. We should search and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will most certainly guide us. Allah ta'ala will guide us. If we are sincere, then Allah ta'ala will create the means and Allah will put those people for us so that we may be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Somebody had written that apart from other illnesses, a major illness is a love for a woman. Again, we mentioned this so many times. These type of questions and queries had been discussed previously. They recur. You see, this is destroying my deen and dunya. And this is what happens. When a person becomes involved in a haram relationship, his deen suffers and even his dunya suffers. It is all praise due to Allah Ta'ala. This condition no longer exists. So he had this problem. It no longer exists. But there is still the danger of falling into sin. Even when I am in the khanka, he says, sitting in front of the sheikh, the whispering comes to me to phone that woman. This is shaitan. Shaitan wants to see us moving away from Sirat-e-Mustaqim. So why is the person is in the masjid now? Or he's sitting in the majlis of his sheikh? Then to shaitan will create that temptation. He says, go and phone her. However, through the light of taqwa, which I am trying to acquire through your companionship, I am suppressing this evil desire. I am perceiving a special closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after suppressing this evil intention. But Hazrat, provide me with a treatment which would cut off the roots of this illness forever. Hazrat answered, if you were tempted into this sin even once, whisperings of it will come to you always. You will have to strive against it for the rest of your life and stay far from the causes of sin. Do not be worried by your inclinations and demands. If the striving is difficult, the price of proximity to Allah is also very great. It is immature to wish these whisperings to go away completely. Remain prepared to strive. It is not evil to have whisperings and inclinations for sin. It is evil to practice upon them. So the thought will come. We are human beings. Suddenly shaitan creates this insinuation. Go and do this haram thing. Or phone this woman. So those thoughts may come. A person may get a strong inclination towards sin. This in itself is not a sin. When does it become a sin? When the person practices or according to that inclination. He acts upon that inclination. That haram inclination, if he acted upon it, then it becomes a sin. So somebody is putting you towards haram and somebody putting you towards halal. The person putting you towards halal, you're not going there. But the person is tempting you. Now there, that is what is required now, an effort. And this whole thing, every single sin, to remedy it, first it requires courage, himmat, to refrain from it. So until a person is not prepared to show this courage, then he may slip very easily towards a temptation. But this a mere temptation, inclination, does not become a sin. So as I said, that these whisperings will continue coming to us. Especially if a person was involved in a guna, then all the time, shaitan will bring back, he'll play the reel of the past, and he'll try. So, mashayikh say, if that thought comes, just ignore it. If the inclination is strong, again, display that courage. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stay in good company. Read the books of our mashayikh, if they have passed on, we had benefited from them. We may have written letters to them, and they have provided given us solutions. So go back and refer and see, Hazrat, I have written to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali these questions and these were the answers they had given me. And so many years later now this thing, sin is coming back again in my life. So when you read that, the solutions these mashayikh have provided, of course, they have given these things to us from Quran and Sunnah. Not from their pockets. They have given from Quran and Sunnah. So it has some noor, some light and will still benefit us. So read the kitabs. Listen to their series, listen to their talks, and I promise you, if a person is sincere, he'll put on a CD and exactly the thing that is troubling him, the answers to that will be there. As though the person who has passed away, that great alim, sheikh, As though he's living now and telling you not to do such a thing. So go and listen to those series. We have benefited from Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali in this masjid. Listen to those series again. Read his books. Inshallah, it will bring us back onto the straight path if we have slipped and we have gone astray. So he says those temptations will keep on coming. Nobody is free from whisperings of shaitan. Nobody. Shaitan will continue. But Allah Ta'ala protects the person. When a person becomes closer and closer to Allah Ta'ala, the test also will be great. And each time he goes, he jumps over this hurdle and he passes this test, he gains even more closeness to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this was to say, the prize that he's winning of proximity, the closest to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala also is very great. You passed a great test and now you're becoming even more closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What could be more greater than gaining the closest of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Imagine Allah Ta'ala says, I love that person, I love this person. He's got my ma'iyat, my special proximity, my closeness. That is what we want from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So he says, remain prepared to strive. Mujahada. This mujahada, every buzur that came into this world, every Nabi of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, every wali of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Quran is replete with these verses, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. Every one of us has to make this mujahada. And that is opposing nafs and opposing shaitan. It's a lifelong struggle. We heard so many times. It's a wrestling match between nafs and between you, yourself and nafs. Sometimes nafs overpowers you, sometimes you overpower the nafs. And right till our eyes close and we leave this world, till then, this mujahada continues and continues and continues. So sometimes it's this particular sin that is troubling us and we have to exert ourselves against it. And we just overcome that one, suddenly another sin comes about. So it's a lifelong struggle. But don't ever lose hope and don't ever feel that now I'm being bombarded by sins all the time. No. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us tawfiq of doing good a'mal. And Allah has given us the ability to gain taqwa. And Allah has given us the opportunity of staying in good pious company. And Allah has given us so many bounties and so many ways of saving ourselves from falling into these temptations. So we don't have any excuses. We can't just blame environment all the time. We can't blame society all the time. Just as there are evil environments that do prevail, Allah has also given us good environments. Right now, is this a good environment or a bad environment? We sit in the house of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this is an opportunity from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But if we do not seize these opportunities, and we just blame society and blame this person and that person, then who do we blame but ourselves? So Allah has given us these things. As it says, do not think that whispering should not come to me. It's immature to think such, to wish that whispering must just disappear and never plague you. Remain prepared to strive. And that is the keynote tonight. Remain prepared to strive. Be ready to make that mujahada. It is for a few days, a few years in this world, and perpetual bliss and happiness in the akhirat. May Allah bless us with the bliss of the akhirat. Another very common problem people have when it comes to the family, especially women who want to don the hijab, and sometimes we do not want to attend functions, especially nikah functions, where there's so much haram taking place. So the person writes, woman writes, this is whenever my family people insist on me to accompany them to a place where unlawful activities take place, for example, eating at a restaurant or attending a wedding where there are waiters, I make an excuse for not attending and do not provide the actual reason for not wanting to attend. So the actual reason was that the person is not feeling comfortable because of the haram environment or activities, maybe music and those male waiters that are coming and serving. So this woman, she is not comfortable and she's got a proper shari'i reason, but she's feeling difficult to mention this particular reason to these people. She feels they may be offended. So she makes some excuse all the time, not feeling too well, I've got to go somewhere or this or that. So as I say, there's nothing wrong in making an excuse provided it is not a lie. It's not a lie. So it's okay to make an excuse, but you should not be speaking a lie. Then the person says, I think to myself that I should clearly tell them it is not permissible to go to places where the activities which would displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I cannot find the courage to do this. Because I personally feel stressed because every time I have to offer a new excuse. Hazrat, may Allah give me the courage and teach me some words which I could memorize and use as a reply on such occasions. Hazrat says, it is better to explain to them in a nice and clear manner. Sit with your family, sit and explain to them. Once they learn of this, they themselves will not ask you to join them because they will be convinced that you will not listen to them in matters which are against the Sharia. If any close relative invites you to a wedding, for example, go one day before, and of course if there is some haram activities that are taking place there, so you know there is going to be some music or whatever is going to be, photography. So before that, and this is also the practice of Hazrat Manar Yunus Rahmatullah Ali, that before the wedding, one or two days before, you go and visit those people, your relatives. So go one or two days before and give them a hadiyah, give them a gift. You see, when you give a person a gift, already you are softening his heart. It creates muhabbah. If a person doesn't give a gift, doesn't go visit him at all, won't attend the function, of course, rightfully he won't attend the function because it's haram taking place. But he didn't even phone the person, didn't congratulate the person, didn't give any dua, he just stayed away completely. So then this person will think, now you have broken ties, whatever. So he says, go one or two days before. This is the hikmat behind still keeping the relationship and you're not attending that haram function. So go and give them some hadiyah, a gift which is better than what others will give. Give them a nice gift and say to them, I have come to fulfill the right of your muhabbat, our relationship, you are my cousin or whatever it is. Since the function will have activities which will earn the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, I cannot attend myself and I therefore excuse myself. Person had written, Hazrat, when my father came to know that I refused to go and eat at my brother-in-law's house or to eat on the same table with him at our house because of parda, he became very angry with me. Very, very common question. So the answer, do not bother in the least about his anger. Hazrat is not saying be disrespectful to your father. He says, do not bother in the least about his anger. It is not permissible to obey any creation of Allah when it entails the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a golden rule. If by you pleasing your father and mother, you'll be displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no good. Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though you are going to be disobeying your parents, but the thing that they are commanding you to do is haram. So you do not please them. You please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first. So do those things that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically, believe me, there have been so many people who had this problem, they did not know what to do, what to say. But when they sincerely begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, and they adopted taqwa, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, Allah made an opening for them. Suddenly they found that then the parents would make separate arrangements for eating, etc. So Allah Ta'ala will soften the hearts. But don't displease Allah in pleasing the parents. People are saying that they are all my mahrams. So why am I objecting? Allah says, how can the brother-in-law be your mahram? Brother-in-law is not your mahram. We say family. But we do not understand some of those people who are your family members, they are not your mahrams. So for this woman, her husband's brother is her brother-in-law. He's not a mahram for her. She cannot go for Hajj and Umrah, travel, suffer distance with him, or be alone with him anyway. And this is where the problem starts. Now people will say, you shouldn't be so narrow-minded, ma'adallah. It's not a question of narrow mind, it is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know what the hadith says? For a woman, what is the relationship with a woman with her husband's brother? Nabi Kareem said, Alhamu al-Maut. Your brother-in-law Your husband's brother is maut for you. Death. There have been so many people. That husband, brother, talking, they fell in love with that husband's brother. Poor husband got left. Now therefore, Shariat, ma'adallah, how can Shariat be narrow-minded? Allah's hukam, Rasulullah's hukam, doesn't appeal to us as something else. We've got a mind that is narrow. Understand and accept the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though it is against our pleasures. There is great benefit in this. There is great wisdom behind these commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just for certain people to practice upon. It's for all of us. It's the teaching of Sharia. But bring into lives gradually and make dua. So many times we have to use hikmat also. When a person is preaching these things also at home, don't become violent. Don't throw your weight around and now suddenly you're commanding every person. Do it with diplomacy, hikmah, teach the people. That is why we have ta'aleem at home. If you explain to somebody properly, he'll listen. If you scream at somebody, he will not listen. So you see, they are also saying that I want to cause division between brother and brother. So now the poor wife, they make her the victim. They say, you are causing this unity in the family. This does not entail causing division or separation. It entails adherence to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Azad, I find myself very weak on this issue. Sometimes I remain silent. I join them in the meal for a few minutes, make an excuse and I get up from there. Azad says, you are committing a great wrong. It is not permissible to join them for a single moment if there is ghair mahram there. If your death were to occur at that moment, what will happen? Are you pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that moment or are you displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then the person says, if I cannot find an excuse, I'm compelled to remain seated there all the time. As I say, this is not compulsion, it is a weakness on your own part. If your life, wealth or children were in danger, will you do this merely because your parents are insisting or family members are insisting? Take courage, or else you remain weak all the time. Is it of no consequence to be weak in dini matters? As long as you worry about the love and honor of the creation, you will remain weak indeed. And this again is a beautiful answer to many of our other problems. We say, you know, what people will say, what society will say, what this one will say, what that one will say. So we became weak on our own will and accord. We are afraid of what people may think of us. We are not afraid of what Allah and His Rasul will think of us. So the person will remain weak the rest of his life, his whole life, and he will not be able to then please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody mentions about dhikr. We normally say, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. That make the dhikr of Allah dhikran kathira in abundance. So the person wrote, Hazrat, I'm regular with my dhikr. What is that amount of abundant dhikr? It's a good question. And how is it done? What dhikr should be done when one is walking, sitting, moving around, etc.? And how should it be done? In other words, should it be done verbally or with the heart so that one may not become negligent? The person is worried about making abundant dhikr. And we have read of this Salaf al-Salihin, the pious predecessors, the amount of dhikrullah they would make in the thousands. Hazrat says, never do more dhikr than what you have been instructed. Many people started making dhikr on their own, thousands of dhikr, without any guidance of any sheikh, mentor, alim. Many of them did that and their brains became khushk. They started doing funny things after that. Therefore, always take guidance. If you read about certain medication is very beneficial. So you took a couple of tablets, you kept on taking many tablets, and you increased the dosage on your own accord. You didn't go and ask the doctor or the pharmacist, what happens? You'll end up in hospital. The same thing here also. Everything there is moderation. And they are teaching Sharia, do this, don't do this. When you should do this, when you... In fact, one of the questions the person is talking about, his tilawat of the Quran and his dhikrullah. He says, Hazrat, you know, if I don't get time to finish my dhikr because I'm making tilawat of the Quran, so what do I do? So he says, I make tilawat of the Quran when I go home in the evenings, and during the day I'm making my dhikr and doing other work. So when I go home, I have no time for my family, my children. Hazrat says, what type of deen is this? You don't have time for family and children? Hazrat instructed him to curtail your dhikrullah. Make less dhikr and spend time with your family and children. This is also dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't ignore your wife and children. And now you're sitting with your tasbih whole time and you finish your ma'amulat. He says, and if you cannot finish so much of paras of tilawat because you're so busy with so much of other work, so make your tilawat less. Read Quran. Make it less. Make dhikr. Make it less. But also have time for your family and children. See the balance. We go extreme. Either we don't do any zikr, or sometimes we overdo the zikr. And this again, when we don't seek the guidance of any person. So here he says, never do more zikr than what you have been instructed. Zikri kathir. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha zikran kathira. What does it mean? It entails us having this concern every moment of our life that not a single breath should be in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the real dhikr. It should be done all the time. In other words, a person does not become ghafil of Allah. He's not saying don't make dhikrullah, Allah, Allah, how we have and how we mention all the time. Every day we should make so much tasbih. In other words, 100 times, la ilaha illallah at least, istighfar, durood sharif. These are things we have to also, our tongue has to be moist. But a person doesn't make dhikr with the tongue the whole day. What Hazrat is saying, you make your little dhikr morning and evening, or during the day whenever you have a chance. But even with that, more important is that a person's eyes, his ears, his limbs, his tongue, his mind, his feet, his hands, everything should be obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a true dhakir. That person is not unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, the person has got a tasbih in his hand and is watching television, watching haram woman. That is not dhikr. That is just moving his fingers. His heart is not connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart is connected to that shaitan box. Or that pretty woman in his office. Or he's making tawaf of the Kaaba. And he's busy glancing at that other woman. So they're not called tawaf. They're not dhikr. Dhikr is when a person is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dhikran kathira then refers to being obedient all the time. That a person does not spend 1 second in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a real dhikr which should be done all the time. And it is the guaranteed, this is the guarantee for wilayat. Person wants to become the wali of Allah. Allah doesn't say, you have to finish so many thousands of dhikr, then only become a wali. No. Allah wants you to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So would that we make dhikr of the tongue, dhikr of the heart, and whatever we have been prescribed with the ma'amulat. But most important, refrain from sins. Don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So talking about dhikrullah, somebody else had mentioned, my heart is not inclined to making dhikr. Show me a way that I could start by, so by which I could become inclined to make zikr. So Hazrat gives a beautiful answer. He says, before commencing with zikr, think of maut, think of death, think about the grave just for 1 minute. And then Hazrat says, think of Allah Ta'ala's favors. So Allah, you made us human beings. You did not make us animals. Allah, you made us believers, you made us Muslims. You created us in a Muslim home. You made us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You helped me to recite the Quran. In fact, sometimes you gave me the tawfiq of memorizing the Quran. You made me regular with your salah, etc., etc., etc. I say, do this for a few minutes. Then engage in your dhikr. In this way, your heart will become inclined. In fact, you would enjoy your dhikr now. Because the love of one's benefactor is a natural thing. Somebody does good to you, he benefits you with something. So immediately you become inclined to the person. You begin to have love for the person. It says there, after that, make dua for its acceptance. The intention of making dhikr should be that you achieve even more love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then with that, you see, it's very important to safeguard your gaze and continue atoning for your shortcomings through salah, tawbah, istighfar. But see the important prescription he gave you, that ponder over the different ni'mat Allah has given. Oh Allah, if you wish, you could have made me an animal. I could have been the worst of animals. I could have been in the zoo. But Allah, you made me a human being. And not only that, you made me in the ummah of Rasulullah. And you not only that, you give me iman. And Allah, you give me so many bounties. You give me food and you give me clothing and you give me shelter. Ya Allah, you give me the tawfiq of reciting Quran. You give me the ability to memorize the Quran. Ya Allah, you call me to your masjid. You give me the tawfiq of making sajda. Oh Allah, so many what happens now? You begin to talk to Allah and the love of Allah that comes into the person's heart. And then when he sees Allah, then he gets a different feeling. Then when he says, La ilaha illallah, he'll feel connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah bless us. May Allah guide us. There's so many other questions. We'll just take one more inshallah. Person says, I'm relating to you the evils that I have in my life. And he says, make dua to Allah, Allah Ta'ala makes my islah. I have a very angry temperament since childhood. And I'm ill-mannered. I accord no respect to my mother, nor to my elder brothers and sisters. In addition to this, I have the habit of breaking relationships with them. No sooner I have an argument with one of them, I stop talking to the person for months on end. I am not on talking terms with one of my brothers since childhood. And I stopped talking to another brother for the last 2 or 3 years. Hazrat answers, Reformation Islah takes place through courage. I think now we've mentioned this so many times, it should be embedded in our hearts. If a person wants Islah, he wants reformation, it can only happen through Himmat, courage. If you do not take the courage, you will not be able to place a single morsel in your mouth. You should therefore take the courage. First go to your parents, ask them for forgiveness for all your past acts of disrespect. Start talking with your brothers as well, no matter how heavy it may weigh upon you. In fact, ask them for forgiveness as well, because the wrong was committed by you. Breaking of relationships with family members is a major sin. With regard to worldly matters, it is not permissible to break relationships with fellow Muslims for more than 3 days. So more than 3 days is not permissible as far as dunya matters are concerned. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal. Inshallah, next week we will continue. There are so many other more pertinent and important questions and queries that were given to Hazrat Hari Bila, the Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah, and the answers he gave. So in this one here, do not break off the relationship, especially with family brothers, with family members. It mentioned hadith, if a person wants barakah in his livelihood, then he should join family ties. Allah Ta'ala, or Rasulullah promises that Allah Ta'ala will give you barakat in your rozi. By breaking off family relationships, of course, we are talking about just for dunya matters. Person angry, so he cuts off relationship. For years, they don't talk. There have been so many people who grew up, children of this brother, they don't know even their own cousins. They don't know their father's brother's sons. They heard of some family. They have never met. Imagine they land up in the same class in school. How embarrassing. Or they attend the same masjid then. So we must patch ourselves. It's heavy on the heart sometimes. Very heavy. And therefore Rasul said, the one who makes salam first after this relationship has been broken, and you go first and you ask for forgiveness, then you have got no pride in you. You have got humility in you. You have humbled yourself. You are free from pride. And if you go and you do your duty, by I made a mistake. Please forgive me. If he does not forgive you, then he returns with the sin of both. You are free from sin now. You have got no guna on your head now. Because you went up, you took the courage and you asked for forgiveness. If that person still wants to continue being disunited and have a relationship which is severed and broken, then he goes back with the sin of both the people. Why wait for occasions of Eid, then we ask for forgiveness? So many times happen, person not talking, and then the janazah news comes, your brother passed away, uncle passed away, now he has to attend that, just to show face. It's too late, the man is gone. So we do not know why wait for all those things. Ask for forgiveness. What is the worst that will happen? You will feel as though you were defeated, so-called defeat that man won. So what? But in the akhirat, you're a winner. In fact, in dunya also, in reality, you had the courage to go up to the person. He had no courage. So you are a stronger person. Let us not be weak. And at least ask for forgiveness. After that person doesn't want to talk to you and he moves away, there's no guna on your side. But at least you did this much. You ask the person for forgiveness. If I said anything wrong, did anything wrong, forgive me. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah guide us. There are so many things for us to improve ourselves. We don't have time to look at everybody else. We don't know when moth will come. We all are weak. We are all in the same boat. So we all need to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore these questions have been raised by these people. And these are the solutions given. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahu wa bihamdika.